All right, 32 years ago. The year is now 1990. Some of you that are here this morning were actually birthed and breathing in the flesh and walking on this earth in 1990. Other of you were still in God the Father's plan. Amen. But he knew you.
Yes.
He knew you. Regardless of in 1990, if you were here and breathing earth suit or in his plan. And so today, I'd like to say to you, since he knows you, you need to know him. Learn about your creator.
Yeah.
Learn about your father. The one who loved so much that he gave his son for you as a sacrifice. And once you come to Jesus and know him as your Savior, then Lord, make sure you have plenty of room for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless you all.
Amen. Well, it's just a real honor to take just a couple moments to share, because if you don't know where you came from, you're not going to know where you're going. If you don't know what you're standing on, it will crumble before you take your first step. And so 32 years ago, on April 29th, 1990, Pastor Karen and I held an introductory meeting at the old Avon Farms Inn. And at that meeting, there were 30 people. And I gave what the Lord had said to us. And we built our church on one saying, the Lord said, as far as our personal. Why are you doing this? Because the Lord said. Why are you staying here? Because the Lord said. And when you have a Lord said in your life, you don't move. You just keep going forward. And so we had that meeting, and before I go any further, there is only one person that was at that meeting that has been on our side for 32 years. Amen. I'd like you to thank John Penfield for all his service. When all the bombs went off, the smoke cleared, John was there. When the earthquakes came and all the earth shake, we woke up and John was there. When people left and said, "Well, I don't want to do anything with you anymore," we turned around and John was there. So we thank you, John. Part of the vision that I shared on that day, in fact, it was April 29th, which is a couple days ago we had that, and part of the vision, I can't give you all the vision, but part of the vision that I shared is that we will be a rejoicing church, a place of refreshing, and a people of service. And when God birthed us, it was a suddenly. One day the church did not exist, the next day it did exist. That's how supernatural this church got started. 30 people, we gave a vision, they said, "Well, we want to do it now." I said, "I don't even have a building yet." And that night they gave $1,503 to start this church. That was on a Friday, the 29th. On May 4th, we walked through the doors of that little room over there. I had nothing but my Bible, my preaching notes, and Karen had her guitar. We had no chairs. We had no pulpit. We had nothing. But when God says he's going to do something, he does it.
Yes.
And this is a suddenly birth. This is not, "Oh, let's conjure up and start a church." No, this was birthed suddenly by God in this region. After the years that we had the three areas that we built this rejoicing church, a place of refreshing, because we are about the Holy Ghost. All right, we lift up our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, but we're all about letting Holy Ghost do what he wants to do. And then a people service, which, you know, over the years, that has probably been the weakest leg, but God is strengthening it. And then I added one fourth leg to that, to our vision, and that is people caring for people. Because if we love God but don't care for each other, then we're just not there. There are three strong cords that we establish this church at, and I'm going to just go over a couple of these things with you. And we live this every day. And the three strong cord is what, Chris?
Worship, prayer, and the word.
Worship, prayer, and the word. That is the three cords that this house was built on. Worship, prayer, and the word. And God has balanced that and done that over the years. And then I had another strong cord that the Lord established when I'm dealing with people. And I've always said that you can say what you want and do what you want, but if you have love, grace, and mercy, it will always come out okay. So whenever we deal with people in their relationships, if you have love, grace, and mercy, God will always move in that relationship. He'll always leave it good. Amen. So on May 4th, 1990, we held our first meeting here at Eastview Drive, one small room, and it was a pretty awesome time. We were told before we came here, don't even bother going to River Valley because you couldn't build a Holy Ghost church there if you wanted to, and if you did, it wouldn't last but a couple months. That's what we came here with. But I have to say to you, the testimony of the Lord 32 years later is that we're still here. Not only are we here, but we're effectual. Do not go by size. This church is known all over the country. We've had ministry from all over the world here. I remember the Australian fellow from one time. Remember that this morning. Yeah. Amen. We had a brother from Africa, and they talk a little differently than we do. And boy, he was pretty blunt about some things. And so it's been a good thing. But we are told it wouldn't last. But here we are 32 years later, still effectual, still affecting the world. And quite frankly, I want to say to you, are you ready for this? You've just begun.
Amen.
So understand, as you go forward in this house, God birthed this house. God birthed this house. It was a sudden. It had nothing. We didn't have the capability of doing what God did. We had no money. We had no backing from any further church. Our pastor said, you want to go start it? Start it. But we can't help you as far as support is concerned. But we said, the Lord said, and we're going to do it. And by God's grace, when God calls you to something, you walk through the door. And then the journey begins. Your ups and your downs, your ways, and every one of us has been through this. This church has been through some glorious times and some also tumultuous times. But as Mark said this morning, Pastor Mark, all said and done, my testimony to the world is our God is faithful. In lieu of time, I'm just going to just share one part of this scripture and Philippians chapter 1, and I'll just go right to verse 6. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he who begins a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, no matter what you go through, this house, Pastor Mark and Missy, God will finish what he started. That's who he is. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on our faithfulness to be obedient to children of God. But the success and where we're going, this is a spiritual house. This was built allowing Holy Spirit to move and do what he needed to do. We used to have services 3 hours, sometimes longer, because the Holy Ghost just came in and interrupted everything. And it's like you're there for 15 minutes and you left and you said, wow. And so I want to encourage you as we go forward, and I notice I said as we, because as I know, I'm not going anywhere right now. So, amen. I know my years ahead of me are a lot less than the years behind me, but we're getting there. But be confident and walk in confidence, church, that what God started, He's going to finish. And everyone that comes here in and out the doors is an intricate part of what God wants to have happen. I had one person said we had a family, and one person just came to church and sat and didn't do anything. And so I had some leaders start to beef about it. And I said, I praise God that their bodies representing God's kingdom is in our church, and that's all I have to do. If that's what they want, then they're here. They're here. They're a part of something. Yeah. And so maybe as we go forward and knowing that God will finish the work, maybe our critical spirits will all leave and we'll just join arms. Get a hold of the message your pastor has been saying to you. Build the wall. Fill it up. And he's not talking about a physical. He's talking about a spiritual wall, the walls of the house. Fill it. Find your place. So over the years, we've experienced, and I'll just quickly say this, many signs and wonders and miracles. Chris and I were talking about it this morning. Many signs, wonders, and miracles. Many healings. We have ministered to people all over the world. We have supported missions throughout the world. Out of this church, I'm guessing, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say between $800 and $1,000 and $1 million over the 32 years this church has given away. Yeah, that's right. To missions, to ministries, to places all over the world, and we are still doing that. We tithe. I said we tithe. And that's key. One time we went through a traumatic experience in this church, and I'm not going to get into it. It's in the hands of God. And I didn't know where we're going. But we always had a giving fund, which was the tithe fund. And we were going through, and I didn't know what was going to happen, so we just let that tithe sit in the checking account just for a couple months, just for a buffer, Pastor Mark. You know, you got to have something there to take care of the people. And all of a sudden, everything dried up. Everything. Our offerings went down to where they were lower than it was when we first started the church. And I said, Lord, what is going on? He said, what do you have sitting in your checking account? He says, give it away. And that next weekend, the officers trustee met. We gave it away, and we haven't looked back since. Amen? Little side story. We've had minister in this church from all over America. We've had bishops. We've had apostles. We've had evangelists. We've had, just name it, all over this nation have been here. People from around the world have preached this place. Prophets have come. Amen. And we've conducted, which was a lot of bright spots in our church history, we conducted regional seminars of worship, and we were known as a worshiping church. And no matter where I went to the United States, oh, you're that River Valley, you're the one to have that worshiping place. And so don't go by what you see. Go by what the kingdom declares. Early in the 2000s, we had a prophet come in here. His name was Mel Davis, who's just since gone home to be with the Lord, along with my pastor. We went to lunch that day after service, which we always do. We took care of ministry. And Mel is very dramatic, very kind, very soft. And I was sitting at the table, he tapped my arm. He says, Brother Al? I said, oh boy, here it comes. Because this man spoke, he spoke. And he said to me, I'm going through this for a reason. Because this church birthed by God, and what you have is still being birthed by God. Are you hearing me? Amen. And so Pastor Mel said, who's that young blonde kid standing in the corner with his petite wife? And I said, well, that's Mark and Melissa Taylor. And he looked at me with fire in his eyes. He said, he's your Timothy. And we let that sit 7 years. I think roughly 7 years.
7 years.
7 years. And we had some circumstances at the church, not important what they were. And I said, okay, Lord, now what? And here's what the Lord said to me. Go get the young man I told you was your Timothy and move on him. Now, that's important because you say your pastor's not here because I chose him. But you hear this now.
That's right.
Because you're going to look at him a little differently.
You had a guy you had chosen.
Huh?
You had a guy you had chosen.
I had a guy who was chosen. That was part of the situation. Amen? Now, I want you to understand something. That was roughly 7 years a prophet spoke about him being my Timothy. 7 years before he started in the ministry of this church, God ordained, called, and anointed this man and this woman to run this church. 7 years before it happened. I was reminded, Pastor Mark and Missy, of David. How God anointed David many, many years before he became king. And so I want you to understand that this is a sovereign thing we're celebrating today. I call my son in the Lord and my daughter in the Lord because they are. I'm trying to stay, not get emotional. So here we are, 32 years later. We have a great history. However, today, in the future, God has entrusted this work to. We've been this for 32 years, and I kind of sit back there, and Mark and I talk a lot. But this is Mark and Missy's pastorate, even though she's not, I won't ever call you that because that's not, unless God tells me to. But I want to say something to you because I want you to understand what you have, then I'm going to say that. This man is about the most righteous, understanding the word of God, balanced teacher. And I go around a lot. I oversee other churches, and we see a lot. And I'm going to tell you, your pastor's got a handle on the word of God. But what you don't hear, because you hear about pastor all the time, is that you don't understand the support he has. And he could not do any of this without Missy. Oh, you see her running around. I watched her this morning and said, that looks familiar. Well, what you don't understand is she's a mother. She has two generations of children. She homeschools them. She runs a household. She works sometime. Puts up with him. I'm here to say to you, because Missy is Missy, don't take for granted what God has done with you. For this is a mighty woman of God. And this place would not be here today, as good as Mark is, without her. So let's honor Pastor Mark and Missy. So I kind of close with this. Another prophet very close to us, I don't have time to get to how close he was, but really, really important in my life, named Val Melendez, Pastor Val. And Pastor Val was here ministering one weekend, and he was very direct. He had fire in his eyes. Anybody knew Pastor Val, you knew he was a prophet. You just knew it. You didn't mess with him. So he closed the service this way. What do you have in your hand? We've done it all for 32 years. But the responsibility of this house is now on you. Not on Pastor Mark and Missy. It is on you. Are you hearing me? What this place becomes will become out of the obedience of the people of this ministry of this church, not just Pastor Mark and Missy. I'm here to encourage you. I've been around a while. I've seen a lot. I won't go through that last scripture, but I'll leave this with you because it profoundly affected us. And I hope you always remember this, Pastor Mark. What do you have in your hand? Stop looking around for everything else and understand that what you have in your hand is everything because it's in the hand of Jesus.
Don't go anywhere. We need Pastor Karen, can you come back up for a moment? Just want to, again, we want to honor these two. And for those of you that are newer with us or whatever, we can certainly share some more details about the journey. I'd love to do that over coffee or lunch or what have you. But Pastor Alan Karen, as you guys were, you know, he talked a lot more than you do, which is typical. But a scripture came to my mind. And I don't know if we understand this. So many of us know about Abraham and the Lord calls him out and he says, look to the heavens and count, you can count the stars, you can count your offspring, right? And you know Abraham, right? His name was Abram, which is blessed father. His name's changed to Abraham, which is the father of many nations. But if you read when Paul starts talking about Abraham, the children one is not the physical nation of Israel. That's not what God was talking about in the book of Genesis. He says, because I said in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He says, not seed as in many, but seed as in one. And then one seed is Christ. So in Abraham, church looked to the heavens. What he saw was not children that were physically birthed, but children that were spiritually birthed. Because if you study the lineage of Christ all the way back, it's Abraham. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that's the lineage of Christ, right? Christ is eventually born. And as I'm thinking about this, I see like, you know, you two never had physical children, but you've walked a very Abrahamic type of journey yourselves, where there's many, 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 many children, hundreds of people that have been blessed because of your faithfulness. And I just wanted to release that over you. Can't imagine, you know, we have a whole flock of kids, and we don't even think about it, you know, like, but. I'm sure that it was a really difficult season, not being able to have your own children. But we see all this here, and many that have come through here in 30 years that are where they are. I mean, think of Billy Newton. Billy Newton speaks so highly of you too. By the way, if you know Billy, he's doing well. Had a major, major surgery, but he's doing well. But anyway, just wanted to bless Pastor Karen some flowers here. This is Mama, and Pastor Karen's very. If you've not known her very long, she's very quiet and gentle here. But when she was the associate pastor here, she was still gentle and quiet. He's a teddy bear. She's the one you had to be afraid of. You're like, yikes! If Pastor Karen, she said, "Come here," you're like, "Uh oh," you know, what'd I do wrong? But very similarly to you know, Missy's keeps things together behind the scenes. Pastor Karen was the one behind the scenes keeping this church running. And this is the guy who we always clap our hands for, the guy on the microphone every Sunday and on the stage. But Pastor Karen was the one behind the scenes keeping the thing running. So let's clap our hands one more time in Jesus' name. And I'm gonna share just a passage of scripture here, church. Won't be too long. And when you need a little bit more family business here, the cop Steve and Lenita is out serving, getting lunch ready for us. But Steve and Lenita, this is officially their last weekend with us, as they'll be heading to they're moving up to Massachusetts, which was always the plan, but the crazy housing market kind of accelerated that plan. I prayed against that in Jesus' name. I said, you know, but they'll be we'll see them from time to time. They'll pop in and visit, and no hard feelings at all. But we wanted to pray over them and bless them. There's Lenita. There she is. So in a few moments here, I just want to share. I will be quick here. I've got plenty of notes, but I want to. I may pick this up next Sunday and kind of expound on a little bit more. But well, before we wrap up and head to lunch, we want to bring Steve and Lenita up and bless them, and pray over them. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 20. And I just want to release this word over you. Most of us, we see it now. Ah, okay, Pastor, I know that one. But I want to show you something that I don't think we connect very well. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's all read this together. Now to him, God, who is what?
Able.
Is the issue God's ability?
No.
To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Pause just briefly. Now we're going to keep reading here, but church, I say this all the time, some of you are new. The Bible was not written with chapters and verses in it. So if you read the Bible like an American, I read four chapters today. I can almost guarantee you that you stopped in the middle of a thought somewhere. Amen. The Bible did not have chapters and verses in the original. So I would encourage you, like if you're going to sit down and read, I mean, some books are real long in the Bible, but particularly if you're going to read Paul's letters or Peter's letters, read the whole thing, right? Even if you don't have time to do it in one sitting, but don't read it like chapter one, he's talking about something, chapter two, he's talking about something else, chapter three. You understand what I'm saying? Let's read right through the chapter break, because he starts off in chapter four, verse one with what? Oh, therefore, which means what I just said is connected to what I'm about to say, right? Therefore, because we serve a God who is abundantly able, above and beyond to do anything far more than we can ask or think, right? Because of that, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, who's you? The church, right? To walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Now, if we pause there for a moment, we can make a giant mess out of that one, can't we? You know, we can make it real spooky and spiritual and like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? But we're going to read two more verses. Paul tells us exactly how to do that. Verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Pastor, I just talked about a critical spirit, right? Kick that thing out. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
So let me explain this just real quickly. We'll be done by 2. No problem. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul implores the church, which is, again, us, right, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. And typically when we hear calling today in the church, we think about a particular position. Is that right? I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a prophet. I'm called to be a teacher. I'm called to be an elder. I'm called. And that's okay, my beloved. But here's the thing. In Romans, Paul says that we are all predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Is that right? Right? So applying that concept, what I see here, church, is that Paul, the calling that he's talking about, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, the call is chapter 3, verse 20.
Yep.
To him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that you can ask or think, to him be the glory, right? Paul says that the invitation from God is to come up and walk in the supernatural abundance of God. How many people think that's right? Most of the church today in America does not walk in that. Is that true?
Yeah.
Now, What we typically do is we think, okay, wow, church is coming up on Sunday, and Friday night we're like, all right, is there anything I did wrong this week I got to repent of? Is there anything right? Let's get ready for church. But the Lord spoke to me the other day as I was getting ready for this. He says, son, you're completely missing it. What I want is I want your marriage to be abundantly above and beyond anything you can ask or think. I want your family to be abundantly above and beyond. Could you imagine, church, if your marriage was blessed beyond anything that you could ask or think about? Or your children? Or your business? How many people own businesses? We got 4 or 5 business owners in here. Imagine if your business was abundantly above and beyond anything that you could ask or think. You see this, right? The Lord's saying, look, I want you to live in this place, not like visit it for a couple hours on Sunday. Right? And it's like I was talking to someone earlier this week, and they're going through a difficult time. And they said, Bob, Pastor, I feel like I've gone backwards. I said, bro, you cannot go backwards. It's not possible. Well, Pastor, Bible says about backsliding. Church, look, we need to get over that, all right? I don't think, even if we like backslide, we got this concept like we've gone backwards and we need to like catch up to where we were. Can I get amen? You understand what I'm saying? But God's like, look, you don't understand. You're always moving forward, right? Time is gone. You can't back up time. You can't go back in time and fix something. How many people go back in time and fix something if you could? Amen, for sure. You can't do it, man. Right? You know how much time we waste trying to wish we could go back and fix something we messed up? God's saying, look, keep moving forward. He's the only one that exists outside of time. He says, I can fix whatever you messed up. You need to keep moving forward. Is this all right? Let me tie this up. I told you to be quick. Am I making sense, church?
Yes.
We need to understand that things we don't think are spiritual are more important that we make them spiritual than things we do think are spiritual. Now, I see 5 things here. I'm told you I'm gonna be quick. I see 5 things here, and I want to kind of tie this into what I've been preaching the last couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about Jesus taking up his cross, right? And then he says, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. And I said this on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus doesn't say you need to carry my cross. He says you got to carry yours. My cross isn't dealing with my sin. My cross is dealing with myself. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus' cross is what dealt with our sin once and for all time. Right? My cross, taking it up daily, is denying myself. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily and walk after me, right? If I let myself, Pastor Jim would say this. I remember one of the first times he preached here. He goes, I don't need the devil to get to hell. I get there all by myself. He said, I know how to get there. I'll give you directions. He goes, you leave me alone, I'll make a mess. Anybody ever make a mess? You realize, church, that we can make a mess without actually sinning. Ow, how'd that feel? We think, my beloved, that sin is our biggest enemy. You know what your biggest enemy is? The person you're looking at in the mirror. Amen. Amen. So I want to show you 5 things here, but then I'm going to kind of twist it as I finished this early this morning. I said, boy, I don't know if there's 5 things here. But look at it. Number one, here's walk in a manner worthy of the calling, right? We're called to walk in this supernatural, abundant life of God. Does that mean you're going to have lots of money? Maybe, maybe not. You know what it means? Money doesn't control you anymore because you don't live in that realm. You live in this realm. Paul says, I got money or I don't. Who cares? I'm going to keep going. Right? I got food. If I don't, I don't care. I'm going to keep going because this level, this realm that my earth suit is in doesn't control me. I live up here. People are with me. Praise God. Nobody's with me. That's fine. I'm going to keep going because I don't live in this realm. I live in this realm. Understand? Yeah? So here's The word worthy, let me just explain this super fast. We tend to think of worthy, how many people, just raise your hand, how many people have ever felt not worthy? For sure. Here's what the Greek word means, though, church. It means to make weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. To make weight. And I want you to think about it in more of like being a fighter, a boxer, or an MMA fighter. They have classes of weights. There's featherweight, welterweight, get all the way up to heavyweight, right? To fight in the heavyweight class, you need to weigh a certain amount of weight, or else they will not let you fight in that realm because you will get destroyed. You simply are not strong enough to fight in that class. Does this make sense? It's not about am I worthy or not worthy, because that's what the cross is about. Jesus paid the price to make me worthy. But he says now it's more about are you strong enough to fight in this class? Another way to look at the word, my beloved, is more about maturity, not about am I worthy or not worthy. Am I mature enough to walk at this level with God? Is this all right? Now we're going to show you. He gives us five things. Number one, humility. Everybody say humility. One definition, I'm sure you've all heard this, but look, it's humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You know what messes up so many relationships? We're so hung up in what I need. Well, I'm not getting what I need out of this relationship. Now, is it important to get you what you need out of a relationship? Absolutely. But most of the things that we're looking for out of this relationship is stuff that we can only get out of this relationship, which is why so many of these relationships are so dysfunctional.
Yep.
I can't get out of my wife what I can only get out of God. Amen. Somebody should have said amen on that one. Right? I can't believe how many folks are like codependent with their kids. Oh, you know, Junior hasn't called me in 6 months. He's 42. They got 9 kids. He ain't got no time. Come on, church. Like, my goodness gracious, I hope my kids call me when they move out, but I'm going to be okay if they don't. Especially the first couple years. See you. I'm just kidding. They're here. We love you. Please call. All right. I was talking with Olga yesterday. Olga called, Olga Calvo, and we got chatting about this a little bit. Remember church, I said a few weeks ago, we need to stop with this level stuff in the church. New levels, new doubt, all this level stuff. I said, look, are we on the same path? As long as we're on the same journey, praise God, there's some people ahead of me and some people behind me. Let's help each other out. Can I get amen? Amen. And I said, you know, here's the thing. When we start thinking about what level we are, we're typically probably about 36 levels below whatever level we think we're on. She was like, amen, pastor, that'll preach. Anybody ever think you're somewhere with God and then he peels the curtain back and you're like, yikes, I'm not there. You're like, I thought I got past stage one by now. He's like, nope, you're in stage one half. We had to make a new one up. Humility. Humility is being honest about where you are. Pastor, I'll sit up here. If you don't know where you are, I can't know where you're going. Go just leave today and type in a destination on your GPS, but don't tell it where you're starting. Can't get directions somewhere if you don't know where you're at. Can I get amen? We are terrified in our culture today, especially in church culture, just be honest with where we're at in our life. We got to stop that stuff. You will never grow in God if you're not honest with somebody about where you're at. You know where I started growing? When I got honest about where I was at. Yeah. And that was, man, was that scary. But you know what I found when I was finally honest? I found grace. And I found kindness. And if you're honest with somebody and they judge you, that's their problem, not yours. I'm going to prove it here in a moment. Number two, gentleness. Gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Listen, y'all, you can be very strong. and yet incredibly gentle at the same time. A strong person is not, I'm just going to look down right now. I'm not just right here. A strong person is not the one who can win an argument or an arm wrestling match. A strong person is not the one who can scream the loudest. A strong person is the one who knows what's right and doesn't budge. Period. And this is up early this morning. I just was reading through this, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, you can't be gentle if you're not strong. It's impossible. Because gentleness means I can control. Doesn't mean I don't get angry.
Yeah, that's right.
Gentleness doesn't mean I'm not angry. Doesn't mean I'm not hurt. Doesn't mean I don't want to lash out. Gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. It's the Holy Ghost says, whoa, back up. You need a timeout. Right? Count to 10. Do it again. Gentleness. Number 3, patience. One definition of this that I love is this. Patience is not the ability to wait for something, but the ability to wait for something with a good attitude. Look, just waiting is not being patient. Because there's stuff we all got to wait for. You're waiting for lunch right now. Some of you, your attitude is deteriorating. I can see it. Patience is the ability to wait with a good attitude, right? I'm going to praise God as though the answer is already here.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty sure the Bible tells us that. Almost done. Lastly, patience. And then it says showing, not lastly, number 4, showing tolerance toward another, in love. In love. In other words, church, people are people. And sometimes people do really dumb stuff. But apparently someone making a mess out of their life, you got to hear this, does not disqualify them from abundant living. Our judgment of their mess is what disqualifies us. Can you pull that verse back up for me, Ruth? Chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Let's read this together, and I'm going to make the last point. The last thing he says is being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, right? But let's read this together. With all humility and patience, so there's 1 and 2, but look at this, church. Read this last 3 as one thought. With patience showing tolerance, right? You can't show tolerance without patience. Is that right? Anybody ever watch their kids doing something stupid?
Amen.
Anybody ever watch yourself doing something stupid? For sure. If somebody was going to address us while we're being stupid, how do we want to be addressed? Kindly, right? Gently. Probably some patience in there. So if that's what we want, that's probably what we should give. Because the Bible says that however you give, it shall be given back to you. That ain't just money, y'all. That's whatever you give. It's how it's coming back. You know, when I find ministers, ministry friends of mine that have fallen into sin, I'm like, well, God, I don't plan on doing that anytime soon, Lord, but my goodness, if that ever happens, I know how I want to be treated, so I'm going to treat them the way I want to be treated. Amen. You ain't done yet, man. Get up. Let's go. Get cleaned up. We got a mess. Let's clean it up. Is this all right? Yeah. Next verse, Ruth. Give me one more. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So let me wrap this up right here, church. Notice that Paul does not talk about, so again, walk in a manner worthy, make it away. Am I strong enough? Am I mature enough to walk in this level of abundance, right? This supernatural place. Notice that Paul does not mention that sin disqualifies us from walking there. Some of you are like, uh-oh, this guy's going off the rails. Obviously, are there things we shouldn't do as Christians? Everybody said yes. Obviously. But my beloved, I think we've become far too focused on the sin in our lives, and we've forgotten that Jesus paid for that. How many of y'all have ever sinned in your life since you've been a Christian? Please raise your hand, because if you're not, you're lying and you're sinning right now. So you got to raise your hand anyway. Busted. How many people have ever sinned, repented of it, and then beat yourself up for weeks and weeks and weeks? You realize that what you're doing right there is you're dragging what Jesus did through the mud. How many of you ever thought about that? Beloved, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation. And that's just a fancy word for payment for our sins. He paid for it. Now, obviously, if we sin, we should get up, we should repent, and we should get cleaned up. But he says, you know, get up. The sin is not what disqualifies you. It's the character that is disqualifying us from living in this supernatural abundance of God. Do you see this? Let's read this one more time. Stand up. We're done right here. And then we're going to pray for Steve and Lenita for a few moments. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. By the way, church, that's not a metaphor. When Paul wrote this letter, he was literally in prison, sitting in a jail cell. I implore you, I encourage you, I beg of you, is the word, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. So here's the three things. How do we, Pastor, how do we get here? How do we walk in a manner, conduct ourselves in a way where God is like, man, I like that. I like that. Humility, gentleness. And then I'm going to wrap these three into one. One preacher said it like this: don't judge me just because I sin differently than you. A sign of maturity, of making weight, as Paul says here, walking in a manner worthy of this supernatural call, is to look upon our neighbor with patience, showing tolerance for them in love. Because Paul says if we decide not to do that, if we decide to be short and impatient and cranky and ornery and look down our noses at people who are struggling with something, we are actually the ones disqualifying ourselves, not the person who's struggling. Do you see that? How many of you have ever judged somebody that has made a mess? Come on, church, for sure. Me, absolutely. Feel good when you do that? Feels horrible, doesn't it? Wanna know why? Because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to do, is get down into the mess of that person and say, man, let's get this straightened out. I got your back. I'm here. I'm going to get my hands dirty. Now, if those people say, oh, you can't tell me what to do, that's a different problem. But if someone is saying, look, man, I need help. If we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we will absolutely help those people with patience and kindness. Amen? Lord, we just thank you right now. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, as we're celebrating our anniversary, God, of this house. And as Pastor Hall said, we're just getting started. I feel exactly the same way. I don't feel like, oh my gosh, it's been so long. I feel like, man, I'm full of life. Amen. And Lord, I thank you right now that as you breathe in our hearts, God, that by the power of your Spirit, we'd see this. And Lord, as Pastor Hall said, our founding pastor, the papa of this church, that critical spirit, we drop it. Holy Ghost, convict. The second we start talking about somebody, just let us get so pricked in our heart. Oh, you better stop that right now. God, that if we're going to talk about somebody, let us go in our prayer closet and talk about them to you. Because God, you have invited us to live in the abundant beyond of your kingdom. That's the invitation. So Lord, help us to make weight. Help us to be mature enough and strong enough to walk in that reality, God. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Stephen, Lanita, come on up here. You two. We want to take a few moments here. If anybody's got a word for them, we're recording this, right, Alex?
Yes.
All right. Is Elder Mo, come on up. Pastor Alan, Karen, if you guys could come on up. Just want to bless these two.